You see, even friends are going to give you negative criticism. And when you hear that, you need to just flush it. See your earlobe here? This is a flush. You just flush that. I love this scripture where in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." I say it this way. What others say about you is none of your business. What Jesus says about you is everything about your business.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. There was a guy in the Old Testament who had an entire book written about him, yet many of us are unfamiliar with his story. We're talking about Nehemiah. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us lessons from Nehemiah's life that are 100% relevant in our present day and age. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, "A Trowel and a Sword."
God has a purpose. Do you believe that? God has a purpose for every person's life. I love that old poem by Dr. Seuss, and it's called "Happy Birthday to Me." You want to hear it? It don't matter. I'm going to say it anyway because I like it. It goes like this. If you'd never been born, what would you be? You could have been a rock or a toad or a tree. Or worse than all of that, you could have been a wasn't. Now, a wasn't has no fun at all. No, he doesn't. A wasn't just isn't. He isn't present. But you're right here now. Isn't that pleasant? Today, you are you. And it's truer than true that there's no one alive that is youer than you. Shout out loud, I'm glad of who I am. Thank God I'm not a rock, a clam, or a ham, or a dusty old jar of gooseberry jam. I am what I am, and it's a great thing to be, if I should say so myself. Happy birthday to me. Two of the greatest days of your life. Want to know what they are? Number one, the day you were born. Number two, the day you find out what you were born for. And if you take a look at some of the greatest people in the Bible, they were all born for something. I mean, I look at David, and I look at him. He was born to be a leader. I mean, he was born to be someone that would lead Israel out of the dark ages so that yet today, the flag of Israel still bears the star of David. Jesus himself would be called the Son of David. Wow. And then Moses was born to lead the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. He was born for that. Even more recently, I think of great musicians like Beethoven or Bach or Mozart. They were born to compose music that would be listened to by our generation, generations yet to come. Or Michelangelo, he was born to sculpt, to paint in ways that time could never erase. And then of more recent date, Henry Ford, who was born to develop a motorized vehicle and along with that an assembly line so that it could be reproduced again and again and again. And you too, every single one, you've been born for a purpose. You may not know what it is, but you were born for a purpose. This year and the years to come will be filled with unknowns, but you are still born with a purpose. And your resolve, until you find that out, your resolve must be to completely get to know Jesus with all your heart. To press into, to move towards, to find out who he is. Get to know him more and more and more. Well, today, I wanted to talk to you about a man whose life was born to rebuild. His name was Nehemiah. Now, his parents must have known something about him because the word or the name Nehemiah, the definition, means God will comfort you. So they must have known something. He was going to face some opposition. Mom, why did you name me Nehemiah? God's going to comfort you. I mean, what's going to happen? God will comfort you. Well, tell me just what's going to happen. God will comfort you. It's like growing up with that, like, okay, something's going to happen. In the first chapter of Nehemiah, he's a cupbearer for the king, Artaxerxes, which means he has to taste the food of the king before he eats it so that no one kills him with poison. But one day he asked for permission to go back to his hometown because Nehemiah was a Jew. And he had heard that the walls were broken down and needed to be rebuilt. And he said, I need to go. I don't know why. I just need to go. There's going to be times God's going to say something to you and you just know you need to do it. You can't explain it. There's no explanation to it. You just can't put your finger on it, but you just know that you know that you know. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. And sometimes it's not a hunch. It just may be the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you can't put your finger on it. You can't explain it to people, but I just know. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. He said, I got to go. I don't know why. I just got to go. So the king gave him a leave of absence. I don't know if it was with or without pay, but he went to Jerusalem, inspected the walls and said, I was born for this. I got to start rebuilding. So he organizes the people, brings them all together. But as soon as he starts rebuilding, he understands why his parents named him God's going to comfort you. Because there's these three people, an Arab guy, Sanballat and Tobiah. They were like terrorists. And they hated the things of God. They didn't want the walls rebuilt around Jerusalem. So we're going to read it. And if you brought your Bibles, please get your Bible out. Because I'm going to read about 16 verses to give you context. And I want to encourage you that when you come, bring your Bible. And so we'll read together. Some of the scriptures will be on the board. But some we want to read from the Bible itself. So if you want to turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, and if you've got your iPhones, you can bring that up too. It's in the NIV is what I'll be reading out of. But Nehemiah starts rebuilding, and we're going to take a look now at a book that actually bears his name. God will comfort. Now in Nehemiah chapter 4, we find these words, and we're going to start at about verse 6, and we'll read so you can kind of catch what's going on. So they started rebuilding. Now they're going to get to half the height, or 50% of the job will be done. So we rebuilt the wall, it says, till all of it reached half of its height, for the people worked with all of their heart, for they had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arab, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. I want you to know that there's going to be opposition from hell whenever God's kingdom is starting to be built or rebuilt. There's going to be opposition, voices without and voices within. There's just something about it. And hell does not get activated until heaven starts to move. And if we have a mind to work, get ready. But just need to say, God will comfort you. They all plotted together to come against and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. In verse 9, that we prayed to our God and we posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. Did you know that you're going to have to rise up and meet the threats? You can't ignore it. You can't just shrug your shoulders and be cavalier. Take note, the devil plays for keeps. So that's why he says, we war not against flesh and blood, the scripture says, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So there is a battle going on and we must be cognizant of it. But God will comfort you. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers given out. There's so much rubble, we cannot rebuild the wall. You're going to have negative voices from the inside. We can't do it. We're tired, burnt out. Then you're going to have it on the outside. Also, our enemies said, before they know it, before they see us, we're going to be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. And then those that live near them in the other counties came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they're going to attack. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials of the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. By the way, we're going to be talking about trowels and swords. And right here, I want you to know, dads, I just want to speak to you for a second. Fight for your families. If you don't, nobody else will. You fight for your families, for their faith, for their well-being. And so we see here Nehemiah actually posting these people by their families. Why? because there's something about loving your family that you'll do anything to protect them. And he's going to work off of that. Scripture has that posted for you and me. We're going to talk about that in a second. And then he continues and he says this, verse 15, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. And from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears and shields and bows and armors. And the officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. And let's read this next verse together. If you'll take out your notes, right under the title, Trowel and a Sword, is this one that I'd like us all to read. Nice and loudly, would you, so I can hear you? Go. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who surrounded the trumpet stayed with me. Wow. So what it's saying here is they continued the work with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. They had to do that. A trowel is what you use to get cement and put it between the stones. The sword is to defend so you can keep building. I would say to the students here, some of you will graduate and you'll be in children's ministry. Some of you will fill pulpits. Some of you will teach young children or be leaders in government. You'll be difference makers and you'll be stand takers. God's going to use you to transform lives and bring hope. But that will not come easily. There will be opposition, and you have to overcome that. That's just a part of it. Nothing worthwhile will come easily. You need to build with a trowel and a sword. You want a great marriage? You got to build with a trowel and a sword, because great sacrifices are going to need to be made for yourself, for your family, for your marriage. Decisions will have to be enacted. Deep commitments will have to be upheld, even when you don't want to. You want a great life? You need to build with a trowel and a sword, because there's going to be a great price that needs to be paid. You want to be an influencer or a world changer? You're going to have to build with a trowel and a sword, because there's going to be great mountains you have to climb and opposition to overcome. You want to be a difference maker? Do you really? Then you have to build with a trowel and a sword. I mean, it would be so nice. I was thinking, God, it would be so nice if we just decided, God, I'm going to serve you. As soon as we say that, there's like an applause from heaven. Yay, the angels say. Every morning when you get up, clap, clap, clap from heaven. Oh, he's getting up. He's getting up. Oh, and then everybody's nice to you. Everyone's kind to you on the freeway. They wave like this to you in intersections. They let you go in front of them in the line at the supermarket. Oh, man, wouldn't that be nice? All your days are just beautiful. Wow, that's how it should be. Wouldn't that be nice? Here's my answer to that. Two words. Fat chance. It ain't going to happen. You will have opposition. And you'll have to overcome that with a trowel and a sword. That's just how it is. So today, let me tell you out of the book of Nehemiah what that sword is for. We understand that our central mission is to build a church, build young lives, build people, build relationships. But when they break down, and they will, when they start to crumble, and they will, rebuilding is a part of building. Don't ever think that just because you have a marriage built that it will not need to be rebuilt. And if it needs to be rebuilt, then something is bad. No. Even through just by common use, it's going to crumble a little bit. Just by use, it's going to need to be repaired. So never think that if your life, your marriage, your relationships, whatever needs to be repaired, it's not wrong. It's actually a part of the building process. So you're going to have to be willing to rebuild. So we understand our central duty is to build and rebuild. However, you also have to have in one hand the sword to defend so that you can build and rebuild. Because when you're building and rebuilding, there's going to be opposition from within and without. There's going to be opposition from the demons of hell. So what do we do? Here it is. I want to share with you Two reasons to defend against and one reason to fight for. That's what the sword is for. To defend against and to fight for. And you'll need to know that both are necessary. So let's take a look. When you're starting to rebuild, whether it's a life or relationship or a marriage or whatever it might be, when your grades go bad, students, you have to rebuild your GPA. Remember that? And you've got to rebuild. So what's the first you need to defend against? Would you write down somewhere you need to defend against the lies of Satan? He's going to tell you you're no good. He's going to tell you that you're bad. But listen, you've got to make sure that you're hearing things of truth and not untruth. The most important thing about you is not what the devil says or people say. The most important thing about you is what Jesus says about you. And that's where the Word of God comes in. Everything that He says about you is here. You want to soak that into the fabric of your heart. And let it die, as it were, not in a D-I-E, but D-Y-E, to dye your fabric with the blood of Christ so that you're permeated with His thoughts. The most important thing about you is what Jesus says about you. Let's read Nehemiah 4, verses 8 and 9 as it comes up. What happens when Nehemiah starts to rebuild? Would you read it with me? Go. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet. Yeah, see, you're going to have a sword. Satan is called the father of lies. So we need to take up the sword. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about the armor of God. Listen to this. The sword, by the way, is the only offense and defensive weapon that they carry. All the rest is defense. But this one is an offense and defense. Because you can defend, but you can also move with offense. So let's read, what is the sword? Let's read it. Go. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. And watch this. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the... How are you going to defeat the lies of Satan? With the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. That's why Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14 says, the Word of God has to be really near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you obey Him. You see, the Word of God has to permeate so much in your heart that it's ready on your lips, so that you can use it. You can't go into war with a sword, and it's a really cool sword. It's a Zondervan NIV sword with a Cordovan leather on the grip and gilded edges. And you don't go into the war or the battle and say, when the enemy comes, oh, I got a really nice sword. My grandma gave it to me. Look at this. It's really nice. Well, the enemy's just going to say, can you use it? Oh, I haven't used it yet. I've had it for only 3 years. But boy, is it nice. Is it nice? What do you think's going to happen? Yeah, you're dead. You're going to be roadkill. You cannot just have the sword and not know how to use it. You've got to be able to utilize the Word of God. It's got to be in your heart and on your lips. That's why it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God be adequate and equipped for every good work. The Word of God is that which will equip you and me, and it will defend against not only Satan's voice, but any negative voice. You can write that as number two. You defend against any negative voice, because it's going to come from even friends. Let's read what it says here. This next scripture, would you read it with me? Go. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. You see, even friends are going to give you negative criticism. And when you hear that, you need to just flush it. See your earlobe here? This is a flush. You just flush that. I say it this way. What others say about you is none of your business. What Jesus says about you is everything about your business. I love this scripture where in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows everything of life." Your heart is here. That's the core of your being. And he says, watch over it with all diligence. In other words, he's saying, put a guard over it. Put a sentry. Put something there that will make sure that that lid isn't always open. You keep that lid closed because in it, and this is what Jesus says in Matthew, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure. And I stopped there and I thought, what? You mean there's evil treasure that I can build? Mm-hmm. Kind of all depends what you put away and archive and put in your savings account. So Lord, if I build bad stuff, if I let bad stuff in, what goes in must come out. Yeah, so you want to make sure that you're only building what kind of treasure? Bad treasure? No. Because out of the treasure of your heart, the mouth speaketh. Proverbs 4:23, out of the heart comes all the issues of life. So what's my responsibility? To make sure I'm building what kind of treasure? Good treasure. You keep that lid closed. So when something comes into your ear and says, you're such a dimwit, you just pull that earlobe and flush the toilet. Do not let that go into your heart. You keep that lid closed. Did that come from God? No, then don't open the lid. Only what God says about you is true. So if the Lord says, I love you and you are my daughter, don't let anybody tell you any different. But Lord, what about what I did? You are my daughter and your identity is more important than your action. You're my daughter. Whew, let that baby in. You understand? And if someone says, you're never going to be any good, don't you dare let that in. That's not good treasure. So what people say, the negative words, you've got to defend against that. That's why he says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. There's got to be a sword on top of there, that lid, a guardian, a sentry, someone that polices what goes into your heart. Especially, can I say this to the ladies? Especially the ladies, you have a tendency to leave that lid open. And everything that you hear goes into your heart. That is not stewarding your heart well. You keep that lid closed. If you hear people say, whew, that got to me, or man, I can't shake it, or boy, that I can't stop thinking about it, that tells me that you left your lid open for some bad treasure to get in. And now it's toxifying you from the inside out. You have to, if your sentry, if your guard is leaving that lid open, fire him and get one in there that knows that you only let God's word and what God says about you in. Everything else is flushed. So if you say something to me and it's like not good, if I pull my earlobe like this, I should tell you, it's like, okay. But if God says something to you or someone says something and it sounds just like the Lord, you open that lid, you let that in, because out of the good treasure of your heart, you'll bring forth what is good. Do you understand that? Steward your heart. So you're going to have that sword against the lies of the enemy and the negativity of people. Guard your heart. Some of you say, Wayne, what if the lid has been open too long and it got in? What do I do? You know what Jesus does so well? He is someone who washes our hearts clean with the blood of Jesus. And that's why in the midst of worship, you let him wash you clean. Because even in the middle of worship, God could be doing spiritual surgery on our hearts. He's a heart surgeon. Did you know that? Yeah, he's the best heart surgeon there is. And so what you need to do is simply give him permission. And when you do, he begins to reconstruct, rebuild your heart. And he'll remove that negative stuff and he'll start to put his truth in you. And that's why it's so important for us to read the word again and again and open your heart to the word of God. Why? Because he's filling your heart with good things. And then you let in the midst of worship and in the midst of prayer, let him wash your heart of all of the stuff that needs to be out. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And God is so good at that. And each of us need to be filtered and washed and cleansed by his blood. And he's here to do that.
You've just heard a message entitled A Trowel and a Sword by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. As we leave you today, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
There's going to be times God's going to say something to you and you just know you need to do it. You can't explain it. There's no explanation to it. You just can't put your finger on it, but you just know that you know that you know. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. And sometimes it's not a hunch, just maybe the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you as you learn to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life. Aloha.